everything that I would like, I would to, like be. To be.
Acra 90.7 FM, hands-on creative community radio for Greene and Columbia County.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar. If you have a press release for All Together Now, send it to news at WGXC.org, and our crack community reporters will see if we can mention your news on the local airwaves on the collaborative 6 p.m. local radio news show, All Together Now.
Underwriting support is provided by Tobacco Free Action of Columbia and Greene Counties, working to protect children from tobacco marketing in stores. The more kids see, the more likely they are to smoke. To learn more and find out how you can help, visit www.seenenoughtobacco.org.
I'm looking at the computer, so I might
go like this.
Five, and then speak really close to the microphone. Be right on top of it. Oh, wait. Singing is allowed.
You want people to have a gallery.
I hear my voice.
I hear you.
Oh yeah, there you go.
All together now.
All three of your mics are on.
Thank you.
Sure.
Here we could pull this thing, right?
Yeah, that you want make, it closed?
Yeah, so we don't hear.
Hello.
McGill.
Demola.
I went to school with the Robert McGill and his brother Michael McGill.
Really?
Yes.
I wonder if there's any relation.
In the story of Queens. They might be. You got
my
any Queens
from the city.
It might be. The McGills. Mike.
Maybe
Robert
not.
Likes, Rob likes fishing. We just rediscovered each other on Facebook.
Do I have unknown half-siblings?
You never know.
What was my dad doing in this story? One never knows. Can't ask him now.
Nope. Oh.
It's okay.
We can't ask mine either.
It's okay.
Okay. They're probably hanging up there. Look what our kids are doing now.
Yeah. Look how proud. So proud. My banker dad. Look at my son making art.
My dad, the guard from the Vatican. Look how religious my son is. He is a spiritual being. God, why did I have to hear that? Is this the same thing? Please read before. Oh, no, that's for him.
I don't hear.
All this patter is on air, you know.
I hope it is.
Come to the opening. Hear some more. Hear more of this.
I'm not crazy. You're the one that's crazy. Institutional. Oh, we're on the air?
Sure.
Well, big surprise for us.
Oh, no.
We're on the air, and you guys have been jabbering, just nonsense.
This doesn't bode well for the rest of the show.
We were joking about that.
We're in trouble.
And I'm blushing. We both are.
Yeah, I know.
Good thing no one could see us.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is the Art of the Hudson Valley and WGXC 90.7 FM on your radio dial, Acre, Hudson, and Catskill, Columbia, Greene County. And I'm on every first Thursday of the month. This is Chad Weckler. And as you know, our pledge drive started yesterday. So this is also a very special program of the Art of the Hudson Valley. I have two guests with me. We have Giovanni Di Mola and Tom McGill, both artists, but Giovanni is here especially to, we're going to grill Gio here about his work and his history, where he was born. We're going to start from the beginning.
Are you going to marinate me first before you grill me?
What's your favorite marinade?
I'm classic. It's olive oil with a little bit of balsamic. That's it.
That's my favorite, too. we're getting used to the whole pledge drive thing. And I wanted to make a mention before we started about radio. And I was thinking earlier, there was, we're old people. There used to be television and radio, and both were free. You know, you had a television set, you had an antenna, you could watch television for free. And primarily, definitely television except for PBS and definitely radio except for nonprofit. You had commercials to help pay for it. Now, where we went with television, I don't know, but we're paying for it. And radio still is free. If you have a radio, all you're paying for is electricity. And radio, and here at WGXC, is nonprofit. We have no commercials. So these pledge drives are very important to the station to keep us on the air. And Gio's been on WGXC before. Gio, what was your show?
I had a sort of a dance music show called Movement. I did that for, I think, like 2 years. It was great. It was great. It was just what I needed. And then it sparked me on to do more DJing as well. Mm. So I might come back to that, get creative again musically, too.
And so you were doing dance music, which you do as a DJ.
Yes.
Primarily people to get them happy and dancing.
To shake their money makers, yes.
And Gio is a photographer. I've known Gio for 10 years. We were in a New York Foundation for the Arts program for here in Columbia County.
Yes, NYFA.
NYFA, yeah.
It was with Don Breeze as well, another local artist.
We had about 10 Hudson Valley, 10 or 12 or so people. And I think... Maybe I'll speak for myself, and maybe the same is for you. It really sparked our business thinking, our energy thinking, just getting us off our asses.
Yeah, well, they also got us, they helped curate and got us into the Exit Art Gallery in New York City for that show. They got us talking about, they got us getting our artist statement together, which was the thing I hated with my heart and soul.
I still do.
I just keep updating my original one from that time so that it kind of goes in whatever groove I'm at the moment. But yeah, I use that as my staple. So that's funny.
Well, when I was, Tom, you're putting this show together at the 46 Green Street studio. And one of the things I really enjoyed and wish I would want, just speaking about a mission statement or artist statement, was the review that a gentleman wrote about Gio's show. It was, I wish that person could be for hire because wrote so well. And I think maybe it's wonderful when someone else talks about your artwork.
That was my friend Brian O'Donnell that wrote that, who filmed did a film in Akron, Ohio, his first ever film. So, and he's a bud, and he's also an artist, a painter. Sorry, Tom.
No, no, it's interesting, like you say, Chad, to see your work, through the lens of somebody else and how they articulate their experience and they articulate their vision of what you're doing. Sometimes, I know for me as an artist, but also as a curator, it opens my eye up to different possibilities of what the pieces individually and as a group can do if they're curated in a certain way. And we've had a really good experience. Gio's been involved with the curation. And, you know, David Schwing, Robert Bacigalupi, Chris Baguda all are part of the 46 Green Street team that does the curation. So I think that we all add a little bit to how the final product looks, and hopefully it really shows Gio's work well. We're looking forward to seeing what people think.
Well, Tom, how do you see this gallery that you've been involved with for a very long time, how it's evolved? Because, as I recall, it was basically you inviting people to show, but now it sounds like it's much more involved.
Yeah, we're sort of, the whole project at 46 Green Street is designed to be in and of the community. Our intention is to find either local artists or artists who have a local connection in some way and promote them in the community. So we want a space and a gallery where anybody and everybody from the Hudson Valley and Hudson in particular can come to. And we want to highlight local artists and... it's interesting. One of the first people I met when I came up here about 5+ years ago was Gio.
Which is the awesome part for me.
Yeah, we had a really great conversation. You were curating, you were sitting space somewhere on Warren Street.
Yes, yes. I was gallery sitting for a painter.
And we had a really great conversation. And I said, oh, this is really great. A creative person, you know, open spirit, really welcoming. And like, Gio is one of the people that really encouraged me to continue to seek this as a possible home for both my art and for community, and developing a project that somehow really connects me with the community. And, you know, in the 5 years I've been here, I feel like much more part of a community than I've felt in the past because of how welcoming people are, how open people are to community. How welcoming people are, how open people are to communication and connection. And the gallery certainly helps. So inviting local people to either individual shows or group shows has been really, it's been really amazing to connect with artists up here.
So did the both of you and your crew work together to pick the images and then place the images?
Yes, it's actually been a really good learning curve for me because I've been a sort of lone wolf. And except for the show in New York, my best friend helped co-curate it. I usually did it all on my own. So it's been a great learning curve. And they also have an amazing vision because while I was DJing gigs and couldn't be there, they were choosing some of them. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm used to being hands-on. And it was the best thing to let go. Because when I went up to see this space the other day and see what was going up, I was like, this is what I've seen in my head. So what could be more amazing? And I just wanted to say, because you were talking about the communal factor, for myself, it's been 5 or 6... For myself... it's been 5 or 6 as they used to be.
That's true.
Years ago. And because of this, I felt even more disconnected. And what brought me into the fold with Tom and the whole crew is one of my friends, Tom Viola, at Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, kept bringing them up and talking to Tom. And there's the word communal. I was like, wow, I could show again in my home, which I've been here 14 years, June 15th. So it's my home, and it's so nice. And it's a lot of portraits of people in our town. So the word communal was like, and community was like such a major draw for me.
It's like you're reading my WGXC script because community is, this is community radio.
Nice.
And, you know, supporting community, you know, local artists, local galleries, and here we have our local radio station. And I'd like to remind our listeners that this is a pledge drive. We need to raise $25,000, which is a lot. It's certainly, for some stations, they ask for millions. So we're asking for just $25,000, and it's so easy to donate. You can donate online at wgxc.org/donate, and you can also call here at the station, and that phone number is 518-697-7400, and you can do the online thing 24/7. And we have people who donate across the country, who, because we are living across the country, who, because we are living across the country, who, because we are living just
on it and listen to shows, especially since they're also recorded.
Well, yeah, the archive.
I love the archive.
It's great.
Yeah, P.S., every time I've donated, especially when I stopped being on air, I felt like that I was missing being part of the radio community. So the wgxc.org/donate was really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was able to do it here and there. And then the excitement of hearing when they would reach their goal. And you thought, how did that happen? You know, I was only able to give 25 or 20, but...
People give, as you know, $5.
Yeah.
I've seen people come into the station and they empty their pockets with pennies, nickels, dimes, whatever. And
it all adds up.
It does. And we'll come back to that, but I want to come back to Kindred. And how did you come up, and this is the name of your exhibition, how did you come up with that name?
Well, originally I had set up an Indiegogo campaign years ago, and the name originally was called Identity. Mm. But in the last couple of years, the word identity has taken on a much bigger picture, with people being gender fluid, transgendered, and the word identity in general. So I realized my work didn't fit completely. Mm. I would have to have this huge body of work, not just Hudson. And so when it came time to actually making the book, I was like, we have to. And so my friend Seth DiCroce, aka Sparrow Hall, he was throwing, I kept asking friends to throw ideas. I was like, do I put my name and say photographs? And they're like, how will someone be connected to it that doesn't know you, doesn't know the Hudson Valley? So we were thinking about kinfolk, kindred people, kindred spirits. Mm. And that's when I said to him, what about just the word kindred? Because right away it gives you warmth, family, your tribe. And then I felt like that worked for it. So, yeah, this whole, everything in this book and all that process is, can't believe how many hands are involved with it and voices. So,
and this is a project specifically over a time period. And when did it start, and what... Where are we up to this point? Probably the present.
Sure. Yeah. The book itself was it's basically the first picture was the day that I arrived in Hudson. So June of 2004. The book goes till 2017, but the show we were able to include last portrait I shot in April, mm-hmm. which for me is really exciting to even have that, you know. Like once in a while to have that newer bit.
Yeah,
but the book itself is 13 years of portraits.
Tom, how would you, as a curator, describe Gio's photographs that are in the exhibition?
Hmm. Well, there's a range. We've sort of found ways to group them to create curatorial narrative. Might not have been Gio's narrative, but there's these amazing portraits which kind of reminded me of sort of Northern European Renaissance types of portraits. Mm. And so we grouped a bunch of those together. And then there were some other portraits where people were in space, and they were in space in Hudson. Hmm. You might not know it, but they were in space in the Hudson area. And then there are these atmospheric works that were really kind of abstract pieces of art. So they're sort of grouped together. And then there are some that are hung in relation to each other, of individuals in transition, of individuals in different, rendered differently, like as different characters. And so we want to compare and contrast, or give the viewer a chance to compare and contrast those images. And our space is small. We have three rooms of different sizes. So because you have to transition in space, it's kind of nice to be able to create something that it transitions in theme.
It is nice that your gallery has different rooms in it rather than just one white cubicle. Because you, as you say, you can tell different stories if you wish. And Gio,
there's an intimacy, which is the part that I really love.
When does the show officially open, and how long is it up for?
It opens June 9th officially, and the opening's from 6 to 8 p.m., and it will be up till July 15th. I'm excited about that. So if anyone's unable to make the opening or that weekend, they'll be able to go there. What, Tom, what are the hours days?
Yeah, galleries open on schedule from 3 to 6 on Friday, from 1 to 5 on Saturday, and from 1:30 to 5:30 on Sunday. And you can always contact us for an appointment. And if we're going to extend our hours, we'll certainly post that on social media, and it'll be on our website, which is 46greenstreetstudios.com.
Yeah, I was just there at the website, and looks smart. I like
Thanks.
It. Looks great.
I appreciate that.
Mr. McGill over here.
It's a work in progress.
And Gio, you've been interested in photography for a long time. You're from the New York City area.
Yes. Speaking to my fellow photographer, Mr. Chad, yes. We're both inspired by each other's work, if you remember. So,
well, we, you know, we both worked in New York City as an assistant and as a commercial photographer at different times. I was there earlier, and for me, it was a process of, you know, what am I going to do? And of course, I'm still trying to figure that out. I mean, you and I, started off doing commercial work.
Yeah.
And for me, commercial work was always, I always put my own creative stamp on it. And then eventually I wanted to make it that stamp larger, I think, like you, where we want to express ourselves with our own, you know, we're the client.
Yeah.
And we're the customer.
Well, for me, two different factors happened. I came up here with all this gear, all the studio gear. And it wasn't, I mean, I was paying attention, obviously, to Hudson River School, the available light, but I had a full working studio thinking that I would still be working as I did in New York. And it was ahead of the game of what is today in Hudson and commercial, what is it, viability of what you can do. And at one point, I had to sell the whole studio. And that made me start to become aware of the available light. And also in New York City, when I would take around my portfolio to commercial places, they said my work was too fine arts. And then I would go to the galleries, and they told me my work was too commercial. So I stopped. I stopped for a while. And then I started all these portraits in here, and the work that I started doing was just for me. So it was the people I met, available light, camera. And so I never thought that they would all relate to each other, you know, being a booker in a show. It's what I wanted eventually. But while those were being shot, they weren't being thought of. They were just for me. I was like, I want to like doing photography again. luckily, on the other side of it, at this point in my life and being 50, it's changed that the fine art and commercial has blurred. So you have fashion campaigns that are shot like beautiful portrait sessions, just the clothing is stylized, which is what I was doing. So I'm kind of happy.
Yeah, me too.
So I could possibly do a commercial shoot, which I did last month for the first time in 15 years.
Oh.
And it was just available light. It's just the person. They had someone do light. We were at, my God, they're going to kill me. Farmer and Sons, the B&B, Kristen's place. And I was like, I can only do this if I get to do it my way, which was great and scary as all hell. And the blessing was that they turned out great. The client was happy. And I was like, oh, my God. So
that's a great experience.
I could do it my way. That was like, oh, anyway. So that's.
Well, the portraits that are in the book and in the show, did you start with film?
No, but I always looked at it. I was trying to figure out. I was anti-digital, anti-electronic as far as DJing. Mm-hmm. I was more of a vinyl, maybe the closest was CD man. Same thing with digital. But I finally found a Canon camera that worked just like my Canon, I forgot what it was, FX-103, something like that. And it shot with the shutter and everything, SLR, just like, and with available light, they looked like I shot it with my 35. But that was my intention. And I don't shoot 50 frames for a portrait. I shoot it as if, you know, hotter. I shoot it like I'm shooting film still. Mm. I don't want to edit 150 images for one portrait. So, yeah. I wish I would have been able to still do film, but when I got up there, there were no labs. So I was like, you need to make peace with the digital. And now I'm so happy because they look like I shot them with film. And
I totally agree.
And no Photoshop. You know, nothing against Photoshop, but I don't manipulate them. And so it feels good that that could happen.
And the book is available for sale. I believe it's Spotty Dog here in Hudson.
Yes, it's at Spotty Dog. That was the first place I thought of. And Kelly had offered that a while back, but I hadn't figured out. You know, this is the new part of it all. But now it's, they can click on it all. So if they don't live in Hudson and they're not up around here, they can go on Facebook or Instagram. And I have a link that they can.
And where would they go? On Instagram.
It's in the header, or if there's...
How do they find you, Gio?
Oh. I don't know.
Isn't it just giovanni.demola?
Thank you. Yeah, they could go... Yeah, and if they... The easiest, they could go to my website, which I just added that to, giovannidemola.com, and there is a link on there buy the book. Thank you for that.
We're just here to help you out, Gio.
And all those books at Spotty Dog are signed, right?
No, but I am. But people are reaching out to me and saying, "I'm going to stop by there. Could you sign this and dedicate it to?" So that's been kind of wild and exciting. But yeah, that's been great. I always wanted to have something there. So the fact that Kelly made it possible and Rebecca made the opening, Rebecca Becker made it possible to have a book signing without me having to talk about it.
So, but you're good at it. We've had a good conversation so far.
Well, I'm also in a circle of people that make it really easy, people that I like, and also fellow artists. Sure.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Fellow artists like Mr. McGill over here, so it makes it easier.
Yeah, I think one of the great things, I can see both of you often on Warren Street or somewhere around here. Tom's either biking by so quickly, could barely, like, hey, there he goes. But Gio, you're always walking around, and are you totally focusing on? It's kind of, is it photography first, DJ second? Do you have other hobbies?
Well, it's
Do you have other hobbies?
Well, it's
what do you like to do besides the DJ and the photography?
I like to hike. I like to be in nature. I finally, at 3 years ago, at 47 years old, finally got my license, my driver's license, and then through a friend that had passed away, her car was left to me and got destroyed and got another car. But this year, I've scheduled my DJing of the weddings so that I actually have a summer. And over a decade, I will have breaks to go driving to places I've never been up here. And I just want to hike. I want to go swim in a creek. Do portraits or self-portraits in the middle of the woods. Like, that's what I've been dreaming of. So that's my other love. But as of late, the DJing hasn't been as creative because it's been more wedding-based. So when it quiets down, I hope to, and maybe eventually on here, do a guest spot or whatever to be creative.
That's one of the things about I could never be a DJ. And that's why I admire, Gio, what you do, because you have billions of songs and rhythms and in your head and, you know, and available to you to be able to curate. You do curate your music for your audience. You sort of feel them out. And
that's my favorite part. Or when I'm given the opportunity to do that versus being robot DJ. When I get to vibe out the people I'm playing for, and let's say the age range is from 5 years old up to 95, that's amazing. And that's being up here. In the city, it was strictly like playing for club kids. Up here, I was like, how are you going to play for the 5-year-old and the 95-year-old? It's like, find some commonality. So, anyway.
Is the book self-published?
It's self-published. I went through the process of trying to get it published, but it's probably because I wasn't sure. I did put feelers out. When we get we're going to do a hardcover offset press version.
Wow.
Because it was also people had donated for it, and now most of the money went into shows and everything, but that's the latter part of this cycle. And I have met, now through doing all this, I've met people that are in the publishing field, and I hope when I get to the second book, which is The Dream, that's when I go backwards. I have all my work from the 80s and on. So that's The Dream. That's not now, but right now it's Hudson-based. So did that answer it? Ish,
yeah.
Okay.
It works for me. And that's, you know, I'd like to ask both Tom and Gio about your breadth of work and the span. Is it always forward, or do you like to revisit some of the first things? And I think some artists just want to keep going and forget the past. Some just, like myself, I just love everything. But for the two of you, where do you fit in? Tom?
I find that in my work, I'm moving forward. I do look back. I have a pretty large body of work. I used to paint quite a lot, and now with the gallery and other things, I'm frustratingly painting a lot less, but that's going to start to change. But I do notice when I look at some old work that some of it's, you know, it's like, oh, that was pretty cool, and it reminds me of the context within which I was doing that piece. Sometimes it is very specific to that context that I really couldn't or wouldn't do it again because it doesn't really, like, that experience doesn't resonate with me now. But elements of technique and maybe color might influence my work going forward. So I think I'm kind of flowing back and forth. I'm kind of looking forward, and I'm trying to create work that sort of articulates how I'm experiencing the world right now, or just the beauty of the world, or the not so much beautiful part of the world. So it's really very, even though some pieces might have some timeless qualities, they're really in a space, in a time, in a place, you know, in a place. So it's an interesting question too, because I do have a bunch of this old work that is just sitting there and will probably never be seen. And someone has suggested, maybe were we talking about this, Gio? So you should do a show of that old stuff. And I thought, well, that's not really me.
Mm.
I mean, it is, but it's not. But I'd be kind of curious to
it's
see.
It's part of your roots.
It's part of my roots. So there's aspect. I'm not ashamed of it. It's just that if I were to put it out today, I'd feel very disconnected to it.
And you don't see the same way anymore.
I don't. But I could certainly see the lineage from 10 years ago to now. So it's really interesting to see the elements that stick, the elements that evolve, and the elements that I drop. And that's kind of an interesting experience.
Mm, I like that.
I can see it broken up into chapters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could maybe start with chapter one or go right to chapter three, because we're still writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our creation goes on. And Gio, just thought of something that I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
Because I often ask this of photographers. Do you print on demand or do you print in a series? Do you offer prints in a series?
Well, I'm going to. I actually, through this and the last show, is the first time I really sat down and decided, let's say if it's a larger print, a 50 by 40, that would come in a smaller edition. I never thought in those ways before, but in selling them, it was important because of, I guess, value and all that stuff. But I sold a huge print in the city, and it made me so happy. I was like, this has to have some value to it.
Mm.
And we can't just, you know, make 100 of them and be like, yeah, we'll do them the same. But yeah, they're, and it's how it's going to be available at the gallery, and eventually I'm going to have it set up on my site. So, and when someone does get one order, when they order one, each one of them comes with a certificate of authenticity.
Great.
Which was, as I was taught this, but it gave it that value that this was part of whatever.
Well, that is, it's part of your work. You know, you're involved in the process from the beginning to when they receive it.
Yeah. And I also found, it's funny, from the days of assisting and managing a studio in like West 22nd, I had a friend of mine, Michael Tolani, who worked at one of these dark rooms, and now it's his. And he and his assistant are the printer, so he is who I refound and printed this entire show, and beautifully. It has nothing to do with my work, but how it's printed reminded me of when I used to print myself hands on. So and you were asking about the forward and backward thing. Doing the book caused me to go backwards. I too had just been going forward. That's why I said, oh, I'm excited, there's one portrait from April 2018. I was like, woo, you know, like new works in it. But also I've learned it's like looking at an old contact sheet. When you're looking at that work from the past, you have a different eye as far as how you edit. So what I used to love now is not so exciting. It's amazing to find something out of the past that you're like, how did I miss this? So looking back at these prints from even only 13 years ago, I've been finding, and we printed a couple of them. They were my outtakes, and now I love them. So anyway, I just wanted to respond to that.
It's a good experience.
You kind of refall in love. Because I had pretty much, it was like growing pains. I was like, I don't want to see a picture of myself with my, you know, dyed flat top and cross earrings. But now I can look at it and I'm like, oh, well, look at me. That was me at 22. That's cute. But for a while I was like, we don't talk about it. We don't look at it. So,
did we mention the reception?
Opening reception is June 9th.
That's two days from now.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
From 6 to 8 o'clock at 46 Green Street, which it's important to know where the gallery is. So it is at Green Street.
Yeah.
We get to start kicking butt today. I'm not sure what I can say.
Yeah, we just got how many prints finally?
22 arrived today.
22 prints today. Oh, wow. We're going to work to hang them today and tomorrow.
It's going
to
be almost, possibly almost 50 images.
Oh my goodness, that's great.
From 50 by 40 down to 16 by 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was part of the dream, too. I never printed so big before.
No wonder you need three rooms.
Hello. I was going to make a really bad joke about it, but we're on air. I'll save it for later.
It always kind of surprises me, though, given the intimate nature of our gallery, how many pieces we get in shows. I mean, we intentionally curate stuff so that work can be seen and that enough work can be seen so that an artist's vision can be appreciated by the people who see it. So it's always a challenge to try to have enough work, to have it be isolated enough so people can enjoy the work, each piece itself, but also in the context of their neighbors. So it always boggles the mind to get that many pieces.
You guys blew me away, Tom, because when I first saw the three rooms and I had gone to see another show and it was laid out beautifully, I loved it. But I kept thinking, I'm lucky if I'll get maybe 20, 25 images in these three rooms, because the last show was in, like you said, one of those white, huge, single rooms. Mm. And now, with the way they've laid it out, there's still breathing room. There's breathing room between the images in these three rooms. So that was like the thing that I was concerned about, and they managed to figure it out. And I mean, he's doing majority of the hanging and the measuring. And every time I saw the things, I was like, someone could come in here and see it and not be overwhelmed that they're crushed or, you know, too many pieces in a small space, but still room to breathe. I was completely psyched by that.
So all the images of the people, are all the people from Hudson or Hudson-centric?
I would say probably like 95%. And there's a couple that left Hudson, but I went to New York City and other places to do their portrait because they were part of the Hudson story for me. I didn't get them during the time period I had, but at least 95% of them, just a couple of foreigners that passed through Hudson are in there as well.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. But
and when you were thinking about the story, let's say from the very beginning, when you started doing these portraits, was there a theme that you had in mind? Why these people? Why did you choose the people that you did choose to photograph?
That's a cool question.
Cruel?
Yes. Cruel. No, not cruel.
Cool and cruel.
No, you would see me crying at this point because I'm like that easy. It was initially because I moved to a town. I left New York City. I didn't know anyone. I originally set up where I had open studios, and I was doing people's portraits for free so that they had JPEGs for whatever they were doing. They were rapping or whatever, and it was my way of breaking the seal. I had a handful of friends already in Hudson that brought me up in the 90s. So that's what started it. But I found so many eclectic people. This is pre-selfie, where they knew themselves so well in their perfect angle. They were interesting. They were themselves. There were kids from Hawthorne Valley. There were masons. There were painters. So many people that I would never have had a conversation or relationship in New York City. And here, we were all together, mixed together. So there was, you know, the owner of, you know, millions of dollars of real estate mixed in with the kid that I'm landscaping with at the point, or we're mulching someone's property. And because of that, I've saw so many that I found interesting. And my friend Homer Snyder was one of those people, as well as Christopher Wetmore, who are all over the place, because they were really cool looking kids, but they were so, there wasn't so much ego involved. There wasn't so much ego involved, and I was always, there wasn't so much ego involved, and I was always like, there wasn't so much ego involved, and I was always like,
you know, the people that you photograph are often the same people that we have as programmers here at WGXC.
Yes.
you being having been a DJ on the show, and so many people are, they're all from the community. All the programmers are volunteers. They all bring a creativity edge totally their own. And whether it's interviewing artists or having music or talking about books or whatever, all our programmers in our community are using their creativity to present themselves, almost like a self-portrait. I mean, you, after a while, you get to, you know, look at the people who are doing music shows and they go, wow, you know, I never heard that song before, or I never heard that song next to that song next to that song. You know, what made them do that? And we have over 100 programmers here in,
it's amazing,
from Columbia and Greene County, producing shows either every week, every other week. I'm on once a month. Were you on once a month? Or
I was on once a week.
Once a week. That's,
yeah, I think it was like every Friday afternoon. Yeah, that was intense at the time, especially for someone that wasn't comfortable with the mic part, but comfortable with curating the music part. It was a great learning curve.
Yeah, I had never done radio before. I just, you know, as we were saying before we went on air, and we're having this great conversation outside, is what I'd like to bring insight to the, you know, to our listeners. And listeners, if you enjoy this program, this conversation, and whether you know Tom or Gio, and you're maybe going to the show,
Chad Weckler,
the exhibition, which I hope you do if you're here locally to see Gio's work, we need to raise $25,000. The sooner we do it, the sooner we get back to regular programming. I could go 90% pledge and 10% Gio and Tom, but I'm, you know, kind of splitting it a little bit. So if you're available and you have pencil and paper or a pen or chalk or Crayola, write this phone number down, 518-697-7400. And also using those same instruments, our website, which is wgxc.org/donate. And as Gio said, it's a very easy,
it's easy
process.
It's funny, when I lived in New Jersey, I listened to this listener-supported freeform radio station out of Jersey City, an amazing resource. Any time of the day, you could not possibly know. Well, you knew because there was a schedule, but you can get a whole host of different types of music and talk, an amazing resource. And when I came to Hudson to find a listener-supported freeform radio station that involves people in the community, you know, sharing their creativity, their ideas, their opinions, it's an amazing resource.
And the local happenings.
It's an amazing resource, and the fact that it's not funded by commercials frees programs to do what they please. And, you know, listener support supports programmers doing that kind of creative work. So I would definitely support going to the website, wgxc.org/donate, and give something. Or call 518-697-7400.
And coming up in the next half hour, just after we're done, after the intermissions of our PSAs and such, the next half hour is a very creative radio theater, and it's called Donald Drumpf Theater. And it's produced, it's been going on, I think, since Drumpf became president. And sound artist Tom Rowe produces
it. I love Tom.
And it is a fabulous half hour of creativity. And I just saw on the WGXC website, we have a Hudson Development Corporation meeting happening down at the Chamber of Commerce building at 5:30. And Dan Udell is going to be there. And it'll be live radio from a meeting, a community meeting.
Very cool.
And this is happening now with common council meetings, We're, you know, we, a lot of programmers reach out and do a sort of a news or a social edge to a program. So again, you know, there's that versatility. It's just not talk and music. It's community. People like to reach out to the community. And the Art of the Hudson Valley, this program is really meant to spotlight the people involved in the creative economy and creativity. So I've had gallery people and musicians and painters, photographers, and Tom McGill, we were talking about your work a few years ago, a lot of your installation art, and there's a lot going on, and you're not going to hear about it unless you listen to WGXC. It should be like one of the top radio stations you listen to. And personally, I'm a little south from here, and I'm in a little mountainous wedge where I don't quite get the signal, so I listen often on the computer.
Yeah, listening online is so easy, and you could do it from your phone too. What I do is I go online on my phone, click it in, send it to my Bluetooth, and it's playing in the house live as if you were listening to live radio.
Oh, Gio, you're so on top of the tech thing.
Please, I'm so behind the kids today, but I learned quickly because I had to.
Oh, and after the Donald Trump, I'm pretty sure the Game Hoarders are going to be on from 3:30 to 4, and we have some teenagers here, both male and female, probably anywhere from 2 to 8 people here in the studio talking about video games and electronic games.
Cool.
So, you know, there's some versatility just in an hour. Back to Tom and Gio.
We sound like Tom and Jerry. It's like the Tom and Gio Tom show.
Gio, you brought up possibly doing images in the wildlife setting. Is that, do you have a specific project or a couple projects that you're thinking about and wanting to explore?
I do. This sparked it all up more than anything else. When I first came up, and I was in the 90s, I used to be in Catskill. My friend Philippe Soule had his house there. And what led me sort of coming up here was my frequent visits. And I used to have a 6x, what was it called then? A 6x5 camera and shooting film. Hmm. And all my portraits were outdoors in the woods. Because I would, you know, I'd be assisting, doing, you know, 30 days in a row. And then I had 2 months off. So I'd come up, take care of their dogs while they were working, and just photograph. So I'd like to go back to doing a series that's strictly, and I want to go meet up with farmers. I've been already, there's a couple of farmers that are in the show as well, but I want to do a series basically all about nature and farmers. And the other one is one about family. Most of the people that I did these portraits of now are parents, have kids, lesbian couples that have adopted or had their own. And so I feel like the second half of that is like, you know, what is the definition of family these days? And it's constantly shifting, you know. And when I moved up here, I got a whole new family that I never had before. And a mixed bag as well. So those are the two things. And someone just brought up another one possibly. It's just making time for it. But I'm excited to be able to finally.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tom, you voiced that you find it difficult to find the time. And I think that's fairly common with all of us when we're, you know, balancing so many things, juggling. What's next for you? Do you have an idea?
Well, the gallery is going to curate a show with local artist Michael Tong that will open the beginning of August, and we're in development with him. He has a really interesting installation performance type of exhibit that I'm excited to develop with him. So that's our next thing in the gallery.
Cool.
Is the gallery, when you plan out, how far do you plan out?
We ideally would be planned out for a year. This year, we were lucky enough to have planned out till the end of the year. Mm. And the show after the Michael Tong show is still in development, so we're not really sure exactly how that's going to happen. That's a unique experience for my time here. Usually we're, because everybody in the gallery has another job or two, it's hard to remain, I always feel like there's, in the process of coming out to a show, that I lose a week.
Mm.
Like, all of a sudden, like, oh, where did that week go? And sometimes in planning the gallery out, I feel like we lose a month. So we're getting better at it. But it's also a matter of finding the kind of artists we want to curate or identifying the kinds of themes we want to curate a show around if we're doing a group show. And sometimes they're timely, and sometimes things pop up where we sort of shift gears. So in terms of the gallery, we're probably planned out for the rest of the year. For me, I'm not sure. Actually, Gio and I, in the process of doing work and building a system around his show, sort of talked about maybe collaborating on a show that I don't want to identify yet, but something involving community, involving Hudson.
That's a great idea. It'll be awesome.
So if we are able to get a nice system together with a group of artists who are willing to participate, I think it could be really exciting. So sorry not to be able to say more about that now, but I'm excited about the possibilities.
It'll be great when you get to share it, once we know that you have all the factors together.
Yeah, and I think part of my excitement, both as a curator and as an artist, and also just a member of the community, is, like, I've known Gio forever, but, you know, he never comes out of the house. He's like a vampire. So I never see him.
Yeah.
And so we sort of, like, glossed over how the show came to happen, but my partners in the gallery came to me.
I forgot about that.
With, you know, Tom Viola.
Yeah, from Broadway Cares, Equity Fights.
And also, proceeds from the sales of the show, in part, will be going to Broadway Cares. So it's
forget that. Yeah,
it's a really great great program, and so we're happy to sponsor that. They're sponsoring us and to work with them towards that goal.
Which was my last job in New York City before I moved up here. I was their data entry guy. So,
so Tom reached out to the other guys in the gallery, and then we have a weekly meeting, trying to organize our minds around the gallery. And they said, you know, our friend Tom, so he has this photographer in town, is wondering if we could find a gallery for him. I said, who? He said, Gio? Giovanni? They said, yeah. I said, oh, he's one of the first guys I met up here. And so I said, I'll reach out, because I didn't reach out before, because I just assumed he was already represented by a gallery. And I come to find that he's not. And I'm like, oh, let's do a show.
It worked out.
So it's great, because we've actually got a chance to get to know each other a lot better. And so I'm really excited about our collaboration. Yeah.
And I think that's often the way things get created, is those collaborations, those the talking.
Organically.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I find, you know, a lot of the quirky people that used to be in Hudson you would bump into, it is dissipated a bit. Almost always you bump into somebody and you spark an idea, and you would even tell the person, I would tell this, you know, something, you just gave me an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you what it is, but you just gave me an idea. And I love
inspiration.
That. And so, Gio, that's a lesson that you have to get out of the house more often.
Well, once I stopped working behind a counter after all these years, now I want to see people, because I'm working from home all the time. So I'm excited. It's like I'm social again. That was the cutoff.
So we're coming to the end of the Art of the Hudson Valley, and I want to make sure that Tom McGill and Giovanni DiMola will be collaborating on a show at 46 Green Street. The reception's this Saturday. What time, Tom?
It is from 6 to 8 o'clock.
And it's time for you, our listeners, to donate. Here's the phone number again, 518-697-7400 and wgxc.org/donate. I'm your host, Chad Weckler, And this has been The Art of the Hudson Valley. This is WGXC 90.7 FM. And we're in Hudson, Acre, and Catskill. Thank you, everybody, for listening.